Hungary's Voice of Indonesia with the news. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto on Monday, August the 11th, bestowed the country's highest honor called Bintang Republik Indonesia Ardi Purna or Ardi Purna Star on the visiting Peruvian President Dina Boluarte. As reported by Antaranews.com, the award was given for her significant service and role in strengthening friendship and cooperation between the two countries. The award presentation coincided with the 50th anniversary of Indonesia-Peru diplomatic relations and marked the first state visit by a Peruvian president to Indonesia. Indonesian National Armed Forces confirmed the ongoing construction of headquarters for several of the six military regional commands, or KODAM, recently launched by President Prabowo Subianto for the Army. Reported by Antaranews.com, head of the Army Information Office, Brigadier General Wahyu Yudayana, at the Army headquarters in Central Jakarta on Monday, August 11th, remarked that the physical construction works will be completed by the end of this year. He noted that some of the new regional commands already have headquarters, and the officer emphasized that the absence of headquarters does not hinder the regional commands from operating properly. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Seadanya kini kau kemana menyesalku yang ada rinduku menggurita ku minta maaf ya semoga kau terima sayang kalau kau kembali ku berjanji Siakan jadi kini salah sendiri hingga kau angkat kaki dari sini biar ku alaku telan sendiri. Manusia yang lainnya semoga bukannya tanpamu sengsara sayang kalau kau kembali aku berjanji tak dulu lagi dan buat kau pergi sia-sia kan jadi dari sini biar ku alaku telan sendiri seerat tidak ku perlakukanmu di masa lalu dan kau sesabar itu ludahku jilat karma yang ku buat ku tak kuat ku potong urat malu buat kau mau. Siakan jadi kini salah sendiri hingga kau angkat kaki dari sini biar ku alatku pelan sendiri.
Karanghawu Beach, which is located in Sukabumi, has a unique, exotic and natural beauty. This beach is one of the famous beaches in Sukabumi, with the distinctive beauty of cliffs jutting into the sea. In addition, this beach has a mystical history that has been well known and recognized by the local residents. If you come to have a holidays in this location, you will be presented with a beautiful view, which is a soft stretch of sand with brownish colors, cool air, and big waves that hit the cliffs. All of those add to the charms of the beauty of this Karanghawu Beach. According to the story of the local people, this beach is named Karanghawu because there are holes in the cliffs or rocks so that it will look like a stove. Hawu, which in Sundanese means stove, so this beach is named Karanghawu. In addition, this beach is also famous for its myth, in which it is said that the cliff that jutted into the sea is Nyai Roro Kidul's throne, the ruler of the South Sea. The length of this coastline reaches 4 kilometers. If you are at the top of the hill, you can enjoy a clear view of Karanghawu Beach. The view of the high seas until the big waves hitting the rocks is a very beautiful scenery here. Uniquely, in this location, there is a simple bridge, which was made by a bamboo, so you can take a walk through the flow of seawater to another end of the reef. Taking a walk along the beach with the occasional play with the crashing waves or even sitting relaxedly while enjoying the waves and sunshine.
Hello, Voice of Indonesia listener. Today,
I'll discuss a song by Katon Bagaskara. Ignatius Bagaskoro Katon, better known as Katon Bagaskara, is an actor, composer, songwriter, and singer. He is widely recognized as the lead vocalist of the music group Club Project. However, in 1993, he also released a solo album titled Katon Bagaskara. One of the standout tracks from the album is Negeri Di Awan, a song he created and produced with his older brother, Andre Manika. Negeri Di Awan conveyed the meaning of a loving relationship that adds true color to life. The song also portrays the beauty of the highland in Dieng, Central Java, often referred to as the land above the clouds. Listener, here is Katon Bagaskara with Negeri Di Awan. Happy listen.
And you're still tuned to the Radio Service Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, that you can listen on v1news.id and also the application RRI Digital, available on Android and also iOS. Still with me, Steve, who will be in here with you with more information about Indonesia. Anyway, ahead of the 80th anniversary of Indonesian independence on August the 17th, a lot of people are visiting museums. Why? Because that way we can finally understand a lot of things that Indonesia has since long time ago, and even during the struggle for independence. And if you want to know how the people are trying to preserve all the collection, here is some explanation from the PIC of person in charge of the National Museum Jakarta, M. Rashid Ridlo.
Conservation and preservation of collection are carried out through in-depth condition analysis to determine appropriate treatment according to the material composing the collection and the type of damage present. The use of suitable conservation materials and method increases the success rate of conservation and reduce the risk of said effect in the future. Preventive conservation is also implemented through environmental condition control around the collection. Throughout the process, discussion with resource person and expert are continuously conducted in line with the advancement of conservation science. Domestically, the National Museum of Indonesia engaged in discussion with other museums and the Indonesian Heritage Agency, as well as the Borobudur Cultural Center, supported by skilled professionals from other institutes of individual with expertise in materials such as textile or ceramic. Internationally, various discussion and training sessions are also held with the support of institutions such as conservators from Wereld Museum in Netherlands and the Smithsonian Museum in the U.S. or research institutes like NRICH from South Korea.
And more to this is available on our YouTube channel, VOI Official. Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
kecil meredup sendirinya, seperti ada campur tangan semesta.
There is a new tourist attraction called Little Ranch Sidomukti, which is worth visiting. Little Ranch provides countryside farm with assortments of farm animals like Texel sheep, Arabian chicken, rabbits, horses, goats, etc., complete with the meadows and dens. The atmosphere will make you feel like you are in a European-like farm. Even the barns and dens, known as red barns, are made to resemble those of foreign wine. This attraction is 4 to 6 kilometers away from Bandungan Square, Semarang City Center, and can be reached in 20 minutes driving. Little Ranch Sidomukti is open daily from 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. The entrance fee starts from 25,000 rupiah per person, or around $1.6. Entering the ranch, you will feel the cool highland atmosphere plus the view of foggy mountain range. Here you can feed the animals, ride the horses, stroll around with scooters, electric bikes, and even an all-terrain vehicles. And don't forget to taste the food at the cafe near the farm. To enjoy the farm scenery, there is a bridge and tower where you can take pictures. Listener, there is a new feature at Little Ranch Sidomukti with Go Green concept called Scooter Explore the Village. This facility enables you to stroll around and enjoy the village-like scenery with environmental-friendly vehicle. Besides, there is educational tour linear to the Merdeka curriculum. The Merdeka curriculum includes a curriculum structure focusing on the essential materials that gives flexibility for teachers to teach according to the students' needs and characteristics. The educational tour offered at Little Ranch Sidomukti are farming, gardening, and professional learning for school children.
Apa kabarmu? Kabarku baik saja. Kau tampak bahagia meski senyummu berbeda. Walau mungkin tak sempurna, apa masihkah tersisa kenangan tentang kita?
Apa kabarmu? Kabarku baik saja. Berusaha untuk selalu terus ceria, meski sering ku tak kuasa tenggelam dalam kenangan tentang kita, tentang kita. Jangan berpikir tuh kembali, namun ke arahmu ku ingin berlari.
If you want to stay updated with accurate and reliable news from Voice of Indonesia and RRI stations across Indonesia, RRI.co.id is your answer. RRI.co.id, the official news portal of Radio Republik Indonesia, brings you the latest credible and comprehensive news from across Indonesia and the world. Stay updated with a trusted source only at RRI.co.id, your reliable online news portal.
Kan selamanya jadi kenangan Jakarta Rapatara. Tertulis di bola matamu, setiap tatapmu mengikat diriku. Terkuncilah sudah hatiku di kota yang baru, yang sekarang ku anggap rumahku. Setiap ku pergi, kau selalu menanti. Jika ku tinggalkan hatiku di sana, kau dapat pastikan ku takkan kemana. Kisah kasih yang kita rangkai bersama, kan selamanya jadi kenangan.
Indahnya gelora cinta, yeah.
And from Jakarta, we bring you to Makassar to know about Indonesian traditional boat called Pinisi.
Of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Those who were victorious at the sea in the first millennium were the Indonesian people, the Malays, none of Chinese who sailed. It was only after South could no longer access the Silk Route by land that they looked for trade routes by sea. That was in the 11th or 12th century. Before that, no, there weren't Chinese who sailed. Aren't you afraid of 8 to 9 meter waves? He said that to me. I said that in Indonesia, I've never seen waves of 9 meters. I want to see it. And he immediately shook hands with me. That's it, sir. That's it.
Di Indonesia belum pernah saya lihat 9 meter. Saya kok pengen lihat. Langsung selamat saya, Pak. Jadi oke, dia bilang.
Kalau istilah Pinisi itu sepertinya muncul pada abad ke-19, sekitar tahun 1830-an, 40-an.
Appeared around the 19th century in around 1830 to 40, and it refers to a type of sail that actually comes from Europe, which imitates the international term schooner catch or calf catch, which means a sail that is installed in the direction of the bow of the boat. It seems that these sails were first used in the western regions of the archipelago, such as Riau, Belitung, etc. Until the end of the 19th century, this type of sail was increasingly used towards the east. So the sail also arrived in Sulawesi, and here the sail was changed, which we know now as the Pinisi sail.
Jenis layar itu makin banyak digunakan, makin ke arah timur, sehingga akhirnya ide layarnya itu juga tiba di Sulawesi. Dan di sini pun layarnya diubah sedemikian rupa sehingga menjadi yang kita sekarang mengenali sebagai layar Pinisi.
Indonesian people are challenged to become more resilient in facing life at sea. One of the communities that is able to run a shipping system and build ships is the Bulukumba community. However, the term Pinisi became known in the 1950s.
Istilah Pinisi itu secara umum baru muncul dalam cetakan, koran, dan sebagainya pada tahun
The Dam Phoenician generally only appeared in printing like newspapers and so on in the early 50s of the 20th century. In 1960, the administration of the first Indonesian president Soekarno held a competition for boats to carry copra from Sulawesi to Jakarta. And in the newspaper, a question still arose about what Phoenician boat is, because the term Phoenician was not yet known to people at that time. Because in the fact, in the records of harbor master and so on, boats like that were still called palari. There was palari solompong, there was palari tongkong. The terms Phoenisi started being known in the 80s, especially after the Phoenisi was brought to Vancouver. And there, the boats which were previously called palari were then called Phoenisi. So the term Phoenisi, which now we really take pride in, is actually a creation after the Phoenisi no longer existed.
Terutama setelah ada Phoenisi Nusantara yang dibawa ke Vancouver, dan di situ, di Singapura misalnya, perahu-perahu yang sebelumnya dinamakan palari itu mulai dinamakan Phoenisi. Jadi, istilah Phoenisi yang sekarang ini begitu dibanggakan, sebenarnya sesuatu ciptaan setelah yang namanya Phoenisi itu sudah tidak ada lagi. Ini ingatan masyarakat tidak terlalu tepat. Ada cerita bahwa perahu yang seperti itu yang pertama kali dibangun di
Ara itu. People's memory are not very accurate, and there are stories that the first such boat in Ara was in 1900, but no one remembers who built it, for whom, and so on. And until World War II, in the Dutch newspaper and the harbor master reports and so on, all projects like they were recorded as palari. So the use of the word Phoenisi is something new, something that hasn't been around for too long. But with the motor and Indonesian sailing boats, all of that disappeared in the 70s. This is a memory that people are quite proud of. When Phoenisi Nusantara was brought to Vancouver and more travel companies from abroad ordered boats like that. The term Phoenisi was brought back as a proud memory of boat builders and sailors from the archipelago. The use of the word Phoenisi to generalize all types of boats is actually a deflation of Indonesia's boat manufacturing wealth, because in Indonesia there are hundreds of types of boats and they all have their own names.
Istilah Phoenisi itu diangkat kembali sebagai suatu ingatan kebanggaan pembuat perahu dan pelayar dari Ponto Bahari itu. Penggunaan kata Phoenisi untuk memukul rata semua jenis perahu itu sebenarnya suatu suatu deflasi kekayaan pembuatan perahu Indonesia, karena di Indonesia ada ratusan jenis perahu yang semua punya nama tersendiri.
Phoenisi became known worldwide since its first expedition to Vancouver, Canada in 1986, where one of the crew members is still sailing today.
Mungkin dari awal, saya waktu itu yang saya cerita tadi, 85 dari tim.
At that time, from the start, I remember it was in 85 when my team entered Galangan, and then I said I wanted to come to Canada. I hadn't applied it yet. Finally, after a long time, Mr. Felipe, a Frenchman who was watching us as a witness who accepted the people, I said that you're going home, right? And at that time, many of others didn't come. I went first. So then he said, do you want to come to Canada? And I said, yes, sir. If you still need more people. Then he said, you're not afraid of waves 8 to 9 meter, he said. The same to me. Then I said, in Indonesia, I've never seen 9 meters wave. I wanted to see it. We immediately shook hands, so it was a deal. At that time, I was on the machine and also on the sail. There were also 4 people from Tanah Biru also come with me. I asked to this Navy man, how many meters are the waves? Oh, this is only 7 meters. How is the 10 meters one like? I said. Relying on 2 masts and 7 developed sails called pinisi. The wind has been the main force for Indonesian sailors since the 12th century to sail to their destination. If we sail, we just play with the sails according to the wind. Maybe there will be a change in the wind for several hours, like here yesterday. Sailing without wind for 2 hours could take one day because of the wind. Well, if you use an engine, you can calculate the speed and at what time we will arrive. Well, if we just play with the sails, we cannot predict when we will arrive.
Kapal pinisi di Bandung ini asalnya dari Arab, dulu kan Pak, Sulawesi Selatan.
The Spinisi ship was built originally from Arab Bulukumba, South Sulawesi. Starting from the year before independence in 1945, after independence, it already existed before. From generation to generation, we have been able to make this ship without any finished drawings. It has been passed down from our ancestors until now. We do it without any technical knowledge. It is just based on experience and it is recognized throughout the world.
Dan di segi pengalaman saja, nah, diakui oleh seluruh dunia. Kalau dengan finishnya 1 tahun lebih.
With the pinisi, it took more than a year, but this time we make it on the Losari Beach. It is the fastest one because in just 2 months and a half, has been like this with 2 units with 25 people working. Yes, ironwood, BT wood, and teak wood. It only needs 3 types of wood in terms of its strength. In the sea, you can make just any kinds of wood. I used to have finishing made from BT wood, but the scarcity of BT wood forced me to use it only for the ship rooms. Now I cannot do it anymore. The deck is made of teak wood.
Sekarang tidak bisa lagi karena sudah berkurang sisa untuk patah tulang. Deknya ini kayu jati. Linas, papangnya disusun, satu-satu.
The shoots, the planks are arranged one by one. Then they go up here. After the body is finished, then the tusks are installed. Once the tusks are installed, the road is installed, the bottom is then the gutter, then the floor, then the room. The room has all the walls and partitions made. After this, it has been put on the hub. This is lowered, then the mast is made. The mast is then put on the hose rope. The mast rope, then the sail is put on. That's it.
Tali seling, tali tian, nampak belakang, baru pasang layarnya, begitu.
The system and calculation for making Finnish sailing ships have been known to people of Arab village Bulukumba since 19th century. However, according to a research conducted by German historian Horst Lippner, only 12 Lemo-Lemo people knew the shipbuilding system. The system is named Tatatalu.
Itu dari rumusnya begini.
That's the formula. So this is how we are ships experts, Wandi Talupi. The important thing is that we know the length, width, and height, that this is 6 meters, the length is 30 meters, the height is 3 meters. They keep installing it, and then it will be right when it hits 6 meters. Indeed, we already have experience in that aspect, without saying that it is balanced. It is already balanced because it is our technique, our experience, so that it is precise up to 6 meters without any writing about so many or so. Each one works, each one is an expert.
Ada satu hal dan itu intinya dari warisan dunianya itu, yaitu
There is one thing that is essence of world heritage, namely what we can call a formula for making it. Many people say that boats are made without drawings and so on, and that is actually not true. There is a formula that is not made into a drawing but made into various sizes which are recorded above the gorge. There are various bangli that are used with signs that determine the measurements, for example, the location of the pegs in the hull, the length of the planks, the location of the frame, and so on. Those who will still inherit this knowledge today are the descendants of the Lemo-Lemo people. It seems to have a formula called Takapalu, which can produce boats up to 14 meter long. PLM boats, or whatever boats were called Pinisi in the 70s, were much bigger. So there is an impression that the Ara people at some point in 1930s to 1950s created a new manufacturing formula called Tata Apa, which could produce larger boats.
Jadi ada kesan bahwa orang Ara pada suatu saat tahun 1930-an sampai 50-an menciptakan satu rumus pembuatan yang baru yang dinamakan Tata Apa yang bisa menghasilkan perahu yang lebih besar. Membangun suatu perahu itu adalah suatu hal yang sangat-sangat rumit. Secara populer, perahu layar itu diakui sebagai
building a boat is very, very complicated things. Popularly, the sailboat is recognized as the most complicated human creation that has existed before the Industrial Revolution in the 18th century. This means that throughout human history, nothing more complicated has been built than a sailboat. If we compare the parts of number of objects in this boat, whatever there is, as far as I know, is 100 times more than a cell phone. And they all have to function the same as cell phone. If you install one small part wrongly, the cell phone won't work. It's the same as if boat is installed incorrectly. One small part of the boat will not sink. And there is another point there. Boat is not something rectangular, but it created through a curve. The curve must be harmonious. If the curve is crooked, the boat will not sail. Maybe someone remembers in high school we are taught how to calculate the curve f from x, which is the most complicated, right? Maybe those who have gone through it have all said, well, this is very difficult, but the boat can only function if the curve is harmonious. The curve can be calculated in that way. So the knowledge to create curves has been going on in the archipelago for 1,000 years. And the way of conceptualizing curves is not much different from shipwrecks from the 10th century to boats built in the mid-20th century. These things are very complicated, so they are not for public consumption because they are too complicated. But in order to deepen them and make them something to be proud of, things like that should be made more public, put forward more to the general public so that they are not reduced to only Pinisi.
Cara mengkonsepkan kurva-kurva itu tidak jauh berbeda dari kapal-kapal karam yang dari abad ke-10 dengan perahu-perahu yang dibangun pada pertengahan abad ke-20. Hal-hal itu amat-amat rumit, sehingga bukan menjadi ini baru konsumsi halaya kerana, wah, memang terlalu rumit. Tetapi untuk apa ya, memperdalamnya dan menjadikannya sesuatu yang bisa dibanggakan. Hal-hal seperti itu semestinya memang lebih diumumkan, lebih di kedepankan kepada khalayak ramai supaya itu tidak direduksi atas ini si doa.
Yeah. Indonesia.
Dahulu terasa indah, tak ingin lupakan bermesraan selalu jadi satu kenangan manis. Tiada yang salah, hanya aku manusia bodoh yang biarkan semua ini permainkanku berulang-ulang kali mencoba bertahan sekuat hati. Layak ke karang yang diempasan ombak, jalani hidup dalam buai belakang. Serahkan cinta tulus di dalam takdir. Tak ayal tingkah lakumu, baku putus asa. Sehat ini cukup pembendungnya. Hanya kepadian yang selalu datang menertawakanku. Bertahan sekuat hati, layaknya karang yang diempasan ombak, jalani hidup dalam buai belaka. Serahkan cinta tulus di dalam takdir. Tapi sampai cinta ini semua kisah pasti ada akhir yang harus dilalui. Begitu juga akhir kisah ini, yakin ku. Coba bertahan sekuat hati, layaknya karang yang diempasan ombak, jalani hidup dalam buai belakang. Serahkan cinta tulus di dalam takdir. Tapi sampai kan cinta ini bersemayam dalam kalbu.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Namun engkau datang di sana.
me.